outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
You bought it on sale in July and couldn't wait to fire that bad boy up at the first sight of a few flakes. It's a Sears Super Snowblaster, the Corvette of snowblowers.
You really wish you'd gotten the car.
You, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, believe in absolute power and the absolute right to wake the neighbors at 6 a.m. to the sounds of thunderous snow throwing.
Give me something to throw at you.
Oh, would somebody please put sugar in his gas tank?
That would be pretty sweet, yeah.
So the next time you want to sleep in, only to be shaken by the sounds of snow-covered sidewalk power sculpting, open a window and extend a single-finger salute to Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, a real American hero.
Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
Wait, this guy just got a riding lawnmower for Christmas.
Ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, if we can wake up this morning. It's Thursday, November 18th. We're here despite everything.
Everything.
We are here, and we're here to entertain. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Kira.
Thank you, Sam.
Welcome to the show. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that was a sight. That was a nice sight.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good morning to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you still dressed in what you wore last night?
Uh-huh, you know.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, I've got everything except
for my shoes.
Yep.
I had to tell you that tight stuff, it doesn't really suit you, you know?
It's a costuming thing.
Is it?
It's more of a costume. It's not supposed to be me. They wanted, it's called Women Who Kill, so I was playing, looking like a cop a bit, like a sexy cop.
No, that was fine, you know? It's just that I think that thin material doesn't look good on women, you know? Because it just goes with all the curves and everything, and sometimes it's more than you want to show, you know? But
well, thank you for your unsolicited advice. I love
exactly.
it. Once again, people in LA, everybody's got to give you their opinion on your body. Anyway, continue. Thank
you. No, I did not give you an opinion. I wanted to let you know that I noticed these things.
Okay, I don't
and
care.
People
so.
Do.
Was it a good show? Did you laugh?
Let me finish.
I don't need a critique on what I look like. It's
okay,
just,
you
yeah.
did look beautiful. Okay, having said that, you did look beautiful.
Okay.
And you killed, which was very important because most of the women there did not kill.
Well,
not even
Sam.
Close.
Oh, you're sweet.
Yeah.
And thank you and Dina for coming out.
Last night we had
a comedy show.
We enjoyed it.
You guys are so cool.
You know?
Thank you for coming out.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for inviting us, you know. So, but how many comedians were there? Like six or something?
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah. So you came up with the fourth or something?
Yeah.
You were fourth?
Yeah.
And you pulled your act with the impersonations of Britney and Jessica Simpson. And you were being your crazy you, and people loved it.
I had a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I love doing it.
Is that your usual routine? That's what you do?
That's a part of it. I have a lot more material, but if you constantly are doing like the same 7 minutes or whatever, it depends on what kind of crowd work you do. Like I do character stuff on my mom, who's crazy.
Right.
She called me this morning, by the way. It was hysterical. she's crazy. And I do a bunch of stuff about growing up because I had a really dysfunctional childhood. Mm. But there are different tones and to different parts of the routine.
Right.
So depending on the audience is what I do. And generally, like if you're going into something new, you know, you really want to amp it up and put your best foot forward. So
yeah,
that stuff's really fun. It's kind of generic.
Yeah, you
fun.
Have like an original, unique, act, which is different from the others, you know. And You know, the only other one that was funny was that Spanish woman
she
with the flower dress,
she was
right?
Hysterical.
I mean, she was talking nonstop.
She cracked me up. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
She went right after me, and I'm sorry we don't remember her name. I don't have her name on me.
Yeah,
I
it was Maria something, I think.
She's hysterical, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good night. It was a really fun night, and yeah.
Everybody else was not funny. The girl that ran the show was not funny, and you know, that's my opinion. What can I tell you? You know. Not the one that ran the show, but the one that was the MC.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think she was funny. But, you know, then again, you know, it's like when we go to comedy clubs and stuff, you start realizing a lot of people think they're funny and they go up on stage and they're not, you know, and somebody has to tell them because they don't understand that. But I think if you're on stage and people don't laugh, that's a pretty good indication you're not doing
it. I thought people were laughing at her, no?
Eh.
It just wasn't as strong.
Yeah, I mean, the room did not roar other than with you and the other woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's fun to go on stage and you know that when you're going to go on stage, not that I always know, but that what you're bringing is a different texture
mm-hmm.
so that it people are kind of used to a rhythmic
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da Right.
You know, yeah. It's a lot of fun, and I think it gives people a break from the monotony.
Yeah.
Of your basic, you know, because I've noticed with stand-up is that people can be funny, but sometimes it becomes very rhythmic. It's the same rhythm, and so you become it becomes monotone. Like you become.
Yeah,
it's hard to get plugged into what they're saying because it's like da 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 da, but I'm ching.
Yeah, I was zoning out part of it.
But I gotta be honest, I thought it was a great show. I thought all the comics were really good. I think I've been in shows where people suck, man.
Right.
Yeah, and you know.
Yeah, none of them sucked, but
no, they were.
You know, I liked the Russian girl though. She was beautiful.
Oh, she's
man.
Very pretty. Yeah.
She is beautiful. She was a little bit funny, not that funny, but.
Yeah.
But she was good. I mean, you know, she had an original act also with her Russian accent and.
Yeah.
You know, and doing things like that, but and also you have to salute the courage that people have to get on stage, you know, when they're when they have an accent and all that stuff, you know, because it's unusual. But then again, that's what makes you stand out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to embrace Viva la différence.
Viva la différence. I like it. A little French lesson this morning. It was a fun show. I was really grateful to be a part of it. It's a great club, Hollywood Improv.
Yeah, it's a cool venue, you know?
Yeah, it's like one of the best clubs in L.A.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. That and the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Oh.
Those are the, like, you know, there's a lot of great clubs, but the most kind of like I guess you'd say notorious. Not notorious, but infamous. That's even the most prominently known.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. So I was really an honor to perform there, and they evaluate you too. Apparently, somebody from a club evaluates your performance.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
To see if they want to invite you back. Or?
I don't really know how it works. A friend of mine told me that later, and I think I know who did. So hopefully they liked me, but I mean. You know, I did.
You keep doing what you're doing.
I kind of demolished it, so it went really good. I'm not really that. I'm pretty confident that it went really good. Yeah. It is so fun to be on. It's like something you're made to do. You know what I mean? And you know, you go through a world that you have to do all these other things because you just have to. You have to exist in the human race, and you have to function, and you have to pay your bills. You have to do all these other things, and then there's these windows of opportunity that come up, and you get to like do what you're really made to do.
Right.
And that's just like the like sweetest thing.
Yeah.
I still get nervous and everything, but I get on stage and it starts rolling and I just feel so alive and it's so fun.
Yeah, it's exhilarating.
It is so much fun. And I was just looking at, I was having fun doing my thing, but I did catch a couple faces in the audience and it was just priceless.
Really?
I mean, it just joy. I felt like people had a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked over and saw these group of guys and I think that they were just like, one guy was like doubled over laughing and then, you know.
That one guy there, he was laughing. The one right in front of the stage, did you see him? He could not stop laughing.
Oh,
I mean, people were laughing about his laugh.
Yeah, it was like there's just so many people that were, it was really fun.
Yeah.
And it's just liberating, you know, getting up there and just having fun. I think it's what's great about it is, it's what I love about doing stand-up is that it can be a shared experience, a big corporate experience where like everyone's having the same conversation.
Right.
And so you have this like kind of universal kind of energy and connectedness and it's fun. You know, everybody's like joined in together. It's not dividing. It's kind of bringing together, you know?
Yeah.
So it's fun. I love it. I love it so much.
So I saw there was another show after that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't realize they have shows that late,
mm-hmm.
like at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Something.
It's called Comedy Juice, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. But you guys check it out. Go to the Hollywood Improv. They have them all over the U.S. So you guys can look in your city and check them out. Or if you're in LA, definitely come to the Hollywood Improv. But they've got improvs everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So good stuff.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm
glad. Yeah.
Had a lot of friends come out too, which was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really.
I saw Stacy there.
Stacy. Oh, yeah. Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I always call her Stacy. Tracy was there. And,
did you call her Stacy last night?
No.
Okay.
But I didn't recognize any of your other friends there, so I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of a chaotic thing at the end, where I introduced everybody, but yeah, a lot of great people came out. It was really fun. So.
Yeah, you were funny, I've got to admit.
Oh, man. I had fun.
Just crazy, yeah. I mean, your act, not just anybody could do it, you know?
That's what's fun about it, is I don't have to worry about people trying to copy it, because you can't really, you know?
Yeah.
Not that it's that, it's just because it's me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fun, though. It's fun to have license to be your nutty self on stage.
Yeah.
And no one's yelling at you, hurry up and get back to work. Stop singing so loud. Da-da-da-da. You know how many jobs I've almost gotten fired from because they've told me I can't sing or I'm singing too loud?
Really?
Yeah. Starbucks. That's one. Oinksters. That's another one. Like, damn, when do I get to just do my thing in life?
Yeah.
But it's coming up. I feel it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I've got this show, which is fun. I get to argue with you.
Yeah.
It's a good part
Except
of
you
it.
Didn't plug it in the show. I don't understand that.
You know,
you have a chance to have a lot of people know where to find you.
Well, they introduced me as LA Talk Radio's Kara Kimbrough.
I didn't hear.
They did. And then... And then at the end, I was going to stay on the mic, but the laughter was really loud and my light had come on, which means to wrap it up.
Right.
So I didn't want to linger more and do a shameless plug. You know, I was like, I don't want to be obnoxious, but normally I do say something.
But it's not obnoxious. I mean, it's something that you do. People, it's not like you're pushing it down their throat.
No, I know, but it's just, I wanted to kind of, you know, here's something I've noticed, Sam, and is that if your light shines really bright, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to be like extra humble around people because there's already this concept of like, oh, you know, don't be too into yourself. Not that that would have been wrong. You're right. It's not shameless plug. It would have been fine. But I just kind of I wanted to be like really respectful, and I'm a guest there and I'm part of someone else's show. And, you know, and I was going to plug it, but the laughter was really loud and my light came on. So I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, gracefully get off stage. I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Because I mean, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter to me. It's just, you know, a question of, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be great to have our own night there. Like LA comedy night. Wouldn't that be great? LA Talk Radio night. See, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
I think you could bring in a lot of people. It'd be fun. Yeah. And then
sounds interesting.
You'd be able to like market it on the marquee.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we already did that once. We saw.
Yeah, but dude, wasn't done right. And
no,
I walked
wasn't
in.
Done right.
It wasn't done right. And then I thought you didn't spend money on it. I was like, oh, you spent money on this shit. Okay. Like, give me your money next time. I'll take care of this. Okay. I'll take care of this.
Yeah. Some people are fucked up, man. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. I had a great time. I'm really grateful to everyone that came out. It was really fun. So.
Yeah. But they don't let you take pictures or video there, huh?
I don't think they do, no.
No, they said it a couple times that you can't.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So, because I think if your routine went on YouTube, you'd get a lot of recognition and stuff, you know?
There's some bits on YouTube, and I actually just had something go up on YouTube that was filmed through another club, and it was filmed for mobile downloading.
Mm-hmm.
It just went up like 3 days ago, and I started getting all this stuff in my inbox, my Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this? What's on YouTube? I didn't put anything on YouTube. And there was this thing of me doing a little song on YouTube of you know, in my act, and it already has like close to 4,000 views, and it's got like 7 pages of comments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that's kind of growing.
Yeah.
That just started.
7 pages of comments. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know. And they're not all good, I'll be honest. I mean, 90...
they never are.
No, Well, listen, I mean, 90% of them are great. They're like very, very good. But then there's like, you know, a bunch of like, oh my gosh, you know, like, you know, just dumb comments, you know what
right.
I mean? And you're kind of like, so I didn't expect it. I was like, why am I getting all these comments? And I look online, I'm like, shit, I'm online. And then I'm going through these comments, and then people are having side conversations. You know, you can do that. They're like,
right.
You know, like, oh my gosh, like one girl said that my makeup looked bad. You know, it's weird. Like people are like, they're spending a lot of time on the, Like, there's a lot of angry people watching comedy. Like, yeah. It's supposed to be funny. You guys really should, lighten up.
Yeah, well, there's haters everywhere.
Yeah, you know? And I kind of think that, you know, if I only have 4,000 views and I've got 7 pages of comments, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty, it means people are really, it's really sparking something with people,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And people are talking, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll keep you guys posted on that.
Mm. Okay.
It was like, oh, this isn't a typical Monday. This is a...
yeah. What about your website? Aren't you going to finish that?
Yeah, it's almost finished. It's pretty much finished. It's just basic.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you can put some stuff, some clips maybe. Or,
no, I do. I have. It's more for corporate. It's for colleges like to book me for live performances. It doesn't have my music. It's got some video, like just a corporate promo that I put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more geared for bookings. It's not necessarily geared for if you just want to watch videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you know, it would help people know about you and stuff if you really promoted it, you know, because it's your website. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's almost done, so it's like any day now, so
okay.
It'll be out. But it's, again, I think it's just as good to go to my Facebook or you can go, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
But you don't write anything on Facebook. Do you ever go on there?
Do you guys see how much Sam's grilling my ass? He's like, you need to do this. You got to have that.
Oh, really? Am I doing that?
Oh, no. I think it's funny.
Okay.
You're
well,
like,
I'm
you're
sorry.
My, you're
I
my
won't
marketing,
do it.
No, you're my marketing manager. He's like, Kara,
I'm suggesting.
He's like, you're actually funny. So here we go. This is what you need. No, you're right. I just, I don't know. I think it's good to put yourself out there. But I also think that if you're meant to be doing it, it'll happen and it'll kind of come together. I think it's part of it's your job to... you know, work on your craft, number one, and then mm-hmm. number two, put it out there. But I'm not going to be one of these people that are pushy about it or constantly go to this website, go blah, 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 always plugging shit. I think it's annoying, and I think it's not the real deal. It's like people are forcing, like they create their own fan page, you know?
Yeah, no, but you know, what I'm saying is you don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to make it
obnoxious.
Yeah,
but I kind of just feel like, you know, unless I have something fun to say, I'm not going to just get on Facebook.
I
don't know. I posted my, you know, I post stuff about shows or something funny or, you know, but I just, I think there's a lot of people are trying so hard and are so desperate to like build this and build that. And it's like,
well, but it's a way to do it. Facebook is an effective way to do it. Why wouldn't they?
No, I'm not saying don't do anything. I'm just saying sometimes just, you know, the right people will find you. It'll come together. Just be funny or just be good,
mm-hmm.
you know, and put yourself out there. That's it.
Yeah. But people don't come to you these days. You know, you got to make yourself.
That's not true, though. That's what's happening. They are coming to me. So that's good.
Well, if they are, then it's very unusual. I haven't heard of that. You know, people usually, you have to put yourself out there and find them.
Well, it's kind of semantics. It's like to what degrees? If you just go to shows and you do your thing and you're funny, well then the people that are there, you never know who's going to be there. They, you know, that could be very effective, which is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to have the most hits on YouTube. Okay. You know, there's a formula to getting hits too. I have a friend that's in the top 100 on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and makes his money that way.
Right.
And, there's a strategy to the length of time you have, the title of the clips,
mm-hmm.
The way you market it. And like, honestly, you could be funny and nobody finds your stuff. You know
right.
what I mean? It's millions of people on YouTube. So
right.
it's really like, there's just, a lot of different things, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, Sam.
What about Twitter? Do you go on Twitter at all?
Never.
I know. It's
do you
not
do
fun.
It?
I used to, but no, I kind of just let it go, you know? I don't have the energy.
How many
for
do
it.
We freaking need? Like, come on. You need a tweet and Facebook, MySpace,
yeah,
LinkedIn.
Yeah, but it's good to build up an audience for yourself, you know? And then when you have something to say, there's people that are listening. So
well,
that's
you
why
know what?
You do it.
Yeah, that's fine, whatever.
You know, that's why I've got friends on Facebook, so-called friends. I never fucking met them in my life, never will. But you're building up an audience. You know?
Okay.
So if you want to keep your family and your business separate, you can do that. Have two different pages. But one
I
of them you
I blocked my family's.
To... Yeah?
I blocked their ability to see my postings.
Yeah.
Not because I don't love them, but because it's just like, you know what? Not everything I say is PG. I mean, I'm pretty PG, but I'm just saying, like, they're very conservative. So,
yeah.
Wow. Like, they'll see friends of me and having pictures and we're joking around or I'm at a party or something or... They're like, why does it always look like this or that? I'm like, oh my gosh, guys. I'm not going to take a picture of me brushing my teeth and put that on Facebook. That's not a highlight.
Yeah.
You put the highlights. You do the fun things. Oh, this is our trip here. This is where I was doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Anyway.
So I blocked them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this morning was funny because I'm sitting having my coffee on the balcony, and I'm hearing this guy like talking really loud on the cell phone. And then it occurred to me, I did like a double take there, and I realized this was a homeless guy collecting fucking cans and shit, and he's got a cell phone. He's fucking talking on the cell phone. You know, the ones that walk around with the shopping cart.
Oh, okay,
shit,
but he's not asking for money, is he?
No. I mean, he wasn't asking anybody. He was just walking around there looking for cans and bottles, and
he's a progressive homeless
man. And he's
man.
Fucking talking on the phone.
Well, you want me to throw the phone down? Like, dude, if you're going to be homeless...
No, how can you afford a fucking phone, you know?
Well, there's some cheap plans out there.
Yeah, but still, you know?
You know, there's some pretty affordable plans.
I mean, you got to collect a lot of fucking aluminum to make any decent money, you know?
Well...
There's this guy that has a truck, and he stops by all the bins, and he follows the garbage truck. So, you know, always before they get there, he goes into the bins, gets all the bottles out of there and everything. So... I mean, that guy's a pro, you know, with his own truck and shit. But but someone who was pushing a shopping cart and, you know, with cans and bags and shit, probably all his belongings are on there. And he's talking on the cell phone.
Hey, I've seen homeless people with iPods. They're like homeless and they're rocking to some tunes.
Yeah, how does that happen?
LA's a different kind of homeless. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Trendy homeless. You know? Still have to have my phone.
Like our roommate, she recycles and she like makes what, like $10 a month recycling all this stuff. I'm like, why not just put it outside and let them have it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need it.
Yeah, let them collect it.
Even if you want to like, we want to collect it and then just give it to them. You know, like keep, because we have three different trash cans. It's like, why don't we at the end of the month just give it to somebody? But she like likes to collect it and then make her $2 and then save that money, and then she uses it for, like, hair product or something.
Really?
Like that. I'm like,
the $2.
Okay. I mean, she does make about, I don't know, every month she makes about, what, $20 or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that. But
yeah,
it's like,
that's not a lot of money.
No, but it's kind of like, you know, anyway, I'm not going to tell her what to do because it's her thing. But
yeah.
I just think, like, they're in their trash looking for it, and we have three trash cans full.
Yeah.
You know, help them out.
No, absolutely. You know, that's why, I mean, on the one hand, I don't like looking at it, you know, when they go into these trash bins and start collecting and shit.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm saying, you know, they're helping the environment, you know, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody's going into a trash can, they're doing it because they need to, not because they're looking for, like, a nice place to sleep.
Absolutely.
You know, and if somebody's...
But what I'm saying is indirectly, they're also helping the environment, you know, because this is all stuff that would go in the trash in the...
Yeah.
Landfills,
no, it is. It's like,
you know?
It's like, yeah, it's recycling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they can make around, I met a guy one time who's homeless. This is when I first moved here, and I offered to give him some money, and he said, no, thank you. I don't take handouts. He goes, I work for my money. He said, I make $12 a day.
Really?
He goes, it's enough for me to eat. That's all I need.
Wow.
I thought, wow, well, this is okay.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, cool.
It's terrible to get to a point like that in your life, you know?
I mean, yeah, on one level it is, but on another level there's something kind of like, I don't know, I think there's things not everybody's supposed to have the same kind of life, and not that we should have poverty, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that through people's different walks, different things are kind of revealed, and so some people that are really humble, there's a different, you see a different appreciation that they have, or you see a different sense of faith, or a different gratitude, like there's just... Sometimes it's like stuff that we don't pay any attention to, or that we trample on, or we think, oh, this is just dirty and gross. If you kind of look past that, and I'm not saying everyone, but there are people that, you know, like this man that's saying, no, I work, and this is what I do, this is what I make. There's something about him, you know, having dignity and all that stuff. It was a very interesting moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, the thing is, you gotta wonder, you know, what I think there's a lot of, you know, mental illness and shit.
Yeah,
know?
There's that too.
Yeah.
What's in my ear? What's
sorry about this noise. I'm trying to queue up a video here.
Of what?
Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend was on Larry King.
When?
I think last night. And she was talking about domestic abuse and all that shit, you know. So I don't know why the video's not coming up here.
Is it like domestic abuse and how to capitalize off of it? Is that what she's talking about? Because she probably could do a pretty good book on that, although I'm not sure how much she's gained.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like make those beatings work for you is what it should call.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, she is trying to make a killing off of this. But, you know, she's saying about, you know, how he beat her in front of her kids and all that shit. So I was thinking, let's listen to a couple minutes of it and see what the hell was going on here, what she was saying, because
good
this
evening.
Is bullshit.
Oksana Grigorieva is Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend. They have a one-year-old child together, and they're locked in a bitter legal dispute. Mr. Gibson, by way, has sought a gag order to prevent any involved parties from speaking publicly about the case. The judge rejected that. Mel Gibson has never commented about the conversations. With us as well is Martin Garvis, the well-known attorney, who is the attorney for Oksana, who, by the way, whose father still lives in Moscow, mother's with her here, and her father was a Russian war hero in World War II against the Nazis. How did you meet Mel Gibson?
We were introduced by a mutual friend, and there were my cards on a table, and the friend took my card and put his cell phone number on my card, and so Mel called me a couple of weeks later.
Well, you're a pianist, right?
Yes.
Were you playing piano when you met him?
Okay, well, this is not... I would have to cue it up because, it is interesting, but we're not going to sit here for an hour and listen to this.
Listening enthralled with how they met. It's kind of interesting. Like, how does something go from that to that? You know what I mean? When you see these relationships that are just so mangled and destroyed, I'm like,
right.
At one point you guys liked each other. You know,
right.
At one point
right.
you were attracted. At one
you were
point,
sleeping in the same bed.
Yeah.
You know, you
I'm like, when does it turn dark? That's really fascinating to me how it goes from being, you know, compatible and hopeful to...
You know, to you like know. Hatred sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's really, really interesting, you know.
Yeah. Well,
we have a mutual friend, my roommate and I, this guy who is now going through a divorce with his wife, and they've only been married 2 years, and sweet guy, and he goes, I don't love her anymore. He's like, I'm not in love with her anymore, but he goes, I love her, I'm not in love. I'm like, 2 years? I'm like, what, do you just wake up one day and... I don't like chocolate. I need something new. I'm like, at what point do you? I mean, did you not have enough foresight to think, hey, 2 years later, I'm not gonna love this woman? Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean,
like that's
he may have had the intention of staying with her. You
yeah,
know?
Well, he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. I'm not saying he's vicious. I'm just saying
right.
It's kind of immature mm-hmm. to be like dating somebody for a year, which was a year, and you fall in love, and a year later you guys are engaged and you get married. And then 2 years later, you're like, I'm kind of over it.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think it happens all the time? I mean, people change, you know, they change their minds.
Then don't fucking get married. It just makes me so mad. I'm like, people, come on.
Yeah, but they don't know
like,
that because some people get married and they stay, you know, I mean.
No,
they,
but
they
it's like
along.
Immature. It's so, it's like, to me, it's not just, we have irreconcilable differences, whatever that means. It's kind of going like, I'm going to ride this out till it feels good. And when it's hard, I'm jumping ship.
Yeah, but besides,
why
you also
married?
Don't know what
why
happens
have...
behind closed
no,
doors.
No, I don't.
Don't
I don't know, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. But what I do know is that you see patterns specifically here with marriage where it's like, does anybody think about this? Like, this is going to be really like hard at some point. Mm-hmm. What if they change? What if they get into a wreck?
Right.
What if I become a different person, they're a different person? Am I willing to put the work in and the commitment to be with them through, mm-hmm. you know, to death do us part?
Right.
You know, I mean, some stuff you can't work through or people aren't willing to. And I understand that. But come on, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a joke. It's like marriage has become a joke in this country. Or especially the city. I just think it's, I mean, not your joke, your marriage, but I'm saying like, their perception.
In general.
Their perception of marriage is just do it, and if it sucks, get out of it later.
Yeah, well, I think it's a generalization, but, you know.
It's true.
You do tend to make those.
It's
so.
True. It's an observation that goes on all the time.
Okay. Let's see if I try to fast forward this
leaked
a little bit. Let's see
to
what.
To an internet station. We're all stolen. Probably from the court, and the court has ordered an investigation of it.
So this was testimony given by your client, by others?
It's everything. It's medical documents, declarations, court opinions.
Yeah, we can't seem to get to the right spot here. I just wanted to hear her talk about this shit, but like I said, she says, I forgave him in a couple of weeks' time after the first, you know, severe beating that... You know, he struck me twice with his fist, and then he was choking me, and while I was holding Lucia and not protecting myself. So, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, I mean, who else can you believe? You know?
I just wonder, too. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that she's gone public with this because she was trying to capitalize financially. And I mean, I'm not even judging her in that. I'm just saying, okay, that's the way you're going to play the game. Let's say you really were a victim and you're not just going to go to the police on this. You're going to actually put it out there because you're going to make sure you have your financial future. I also think, like, you guys have a child.
Right.
I mean, this is her father. Mm-hmm. And now this is public. It's like it doesn't go away.
Right.
And this kid has to grow up knowing this vicious, you know, public battle and her mother and her dad and everything. I mean, it's like so sad for the kid.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think it's wrong to convict someone in public opinion, in the court of public opinion, you know?
What do you mean?
And what I mean is that we're already thinking that he's guilty and she's
right.
Yeah,
that's true.
And stuff, you know, whereas, you know, we don't know that.
You're right, but
we already, because, and that's, I think, what she's trying to do. She's trying to turn everybody against him. So, you know, I would like to believe that he did do this because he seemed like an asshole. And because of all the shit he said and everything, he's a hater. I mean, you know, there's certain things about him that say he's a hater. So, you know, it very well could have happened, but who knows? I mean, she's fucking beautiful though. And imagine, yeah, not only did they get along, but he left his wife for her, you know?
That's always a bad move.
Yeah. You know, so he'd been married a long time. Doesn't he have like 8 kids or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first wife. And he left her for Roxana, and now look what happened there.
I wonder if he's had any domestic violence in the past with his ex-wife. I don't remember there ever being any.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
Does somebody all of a sudden become a wife beater? Like if they've had a wife for, you know, 20 years that never hit them and they just...
Maybe, you know, maybe the new wife just knows what buttons to push.
Oh, it's her fault?
Yeah.
No.
No. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
It's never the victim's fault.
I've never, you know, I've never been in a situation where I was ever physically threatened by a man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that would even be like. I just think it would be done is what it would be like.
Yeah.
It'd be like done.
Done.
With probably a tank of gasoline in one hand and a match in the other. Something like that. I kind of think it'd go down like that.
Yeah. You would like it to go down like
no,
that.
No, I mean, I wouldn't take matters into my own hands like that. But no, I mean, I just don't know what that would be like. I have friends that have been in abusive relationships. I've heard stories. I've had friends that were attacked by men, things like that.
Really?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine who, she was in the military and was attacked by one of her officers. And he tried to rape her and then like beat the shit out of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And these are the people you're supposed to trust, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's shitty people everywhere. They're not going to be all perfect in the military. They're not going to be perfect, you know, all places.
But
she went to the, you know, the military police and all that stuff and the doctor and everything. And they just kind of kept transferring him and transferring her. And they kind of just, you know, they don't go through civil courts. They go through their own.
Yeah.
So she said it was never fully dealt with because they kind of hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just can't imagine. It's just, I mean, I'm not a man, but I mean, I look at children and it's like the same kind of equivalent to me trying to, like a 10-year-old. Like, would I ever go to a 10-year-old and just beat the crap out of a 10-year-old?
Right.
That's that difference as far as strength and everything. Mm. I would never do that.
Mm.
I mean, women aren't really necessarily predators or anything like that. They can be, but they're not normally.
Right.
But just that difference as far as like strength and power, it's just, you know, like a man that would actually go to a woman that is beautiful and soft and vulnerable and then like just waylay on her.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know.
So cowardly. It's not even a man. Like, you know, it's not even you're not even fighting a man.
Yeah, because it's not even, you know, I mean, it's not an even fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's why, you know, I mean, men are mostly predators and that's what happens. You know, they find weak prey, you know, or somebody that they can actually,
yeah,
you know, so.
Well, you know, it's funny because I always make this joke. It's not even, this is dark too, but we watched the movie Notorious Betty Page. I think I told you this. And there's a scene where she was lured on a double date with another girl. And then the girl leaves and like 4 guys come out and they're about to gang rape her.
Really?
And she just look at her fear when she realizes that what's going on. She's like, why is she leaving? And the guy looks at her. He goes, you can run and we can make this really bad, or you can just, you know, take this.
Right.
And her face just, it was just such a horrific moment. Like, do I really want to get fucked by 4 guys viciously?
Right.
Or do I want to just like run and fight? And you never know what you're going to do till you're in the situation. But I mean,
yeah, I would suppose.
I was like, okay, if this shit's going down, four guys against me, you're probably going to win. But I'm just letting you know, somebody's getting a dick bit. I'm not leaving till somebody's dick is bit and hanging off my in my mouth. Like, you're going to have to hold me down because somebody's getting, yeah. Oh, let's do this. How about we get a good BJ going on here? you guys are going to screw me three ways from Sunday and I'm going to, you know, probably be never have children. But listen, could go for a real good oral, you know, oral job right now. Who's ready? Who's ready? You know?
Suddenly you're willing to take a cock in your mouth.
No, I'm willing to bite down really hard.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, you never know what's going to
You never know.
Do
this is all your alter, all, you know, but it does.
I can't imagine there'd be anything worse than four men pinning you down and raping you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's just that awful. Sounds awful. It's so disgusting. It's,
yeah.
So, oh, it's awful.
And that's why I don't understand why people are even attracted to movies like this. You know, I can't
watch
the
movie. The movie actually didn't show it, and the movie was about her life, and this was a part of her life. So right. It wasn't.
No, I mean, in general, you know, they have movies like that, and people go and watch them, and, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
What, like rapey movies?
Yeah, like, remember I told you about that movie, what was it, I Spit on Your Grave or something, that I heard about. I didn't really see it, but half of the movie is about her being raped by everybody,
oh, I can't
and then
know.
She
I
goes
like
out for
the,
for revenge. Yeah,
yeah, I just...
But why would people go and see that, you know? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. I think people, sometimes it's like they go to these extreme parts of humanity and they want to see something so, like, kind of morbid or something. I don't know why, but it just makes my stomach churn thinking about it. But,
yeah.
No, but we were watching another movie where there was a scene where you haven't seen The Lovely Bones. It's a really good movie, but
no, I started to, and then my wife didn't want to see it.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Well, there's the predator. He's basically intimidating this little girl to where she puts her face down, like she's scared. She puts her face down, and as soon as we saw this, my roommate Sarah goes, "Don't do that, Kara." Like, we get really into it. She goes, "See what he's doing to her? He's intimidating her, and her face is going down, and she's scared because it's like the prey. They cower down." She goes, "Sarah's 6'2" without heels." She's like, "I'd be like, okay, time to go. Stand it up. Gotta go. Been fun. See you later." Like, we're just laughing so hard. Like, okay, asshole, gotta go. You what? What? You know? I just, it's not that we're stronger than a man, because we're not, but it's almost just the fact that, okay, you want to do this? You want to go? Because I'm going with a fight. You know what I mean? It's a concept that you're not going down easy.
Right.
You know, somebody's getting a dick bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it.
Make some dick soup tonight. Sorry, guys. It's vulgar, but it does paint the picture quite well. I apologize for that vulgarity.
Okay, well, you know, so much for that. So People Magazine released its Sexiest Men list.
Oh, really?
And let's see if we know
any of
these
people. Please tell me Justin Bieber is not on that list. Come on, let him
I don't know. We're
going
to find out. We'll count together.
That's disgusting if he is.
But the guy that got number one is Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I love Ryan Reynolds. I love
him. Never heard of him.
Oh, my gosh, Sam. Yeah.
I guess he's going to be in the Green Lantern.
He is not only sexy, he's hysterical, he's talented, he's endearing, and he's married to fucking Scarlett Johansson. What are you going to do?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, what are you going to do? You can't compete with that crap.
Okay. Number two is Mel Gibson.
No.
He won in 1985, I guess.
No, he's not on
the... So they're going... I think they're going, like, not just this year, but it says People's Sexiest Men Through the Years.
Okay.
Okay,
I was like,
so it's not
recent.
Everything right now, yeah.
That's like a joke. Okay, continue.
Right. Okay, the third one is Mark Harmon. You know Mark Harmon?
No.
He's in those series.
Those series.
Yeah.
Love him.
I forgot. What's it called?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Okay, next. Who else?
no, but Mark, yeah, he used to be on Saint Elsewhere. Where,
yeah,
a
long
time
ago,
80s. He was picked in 1986. Yeah,
next.
Look who is number four.
What?
Harry Hamlin. Lisa Rinna's husband.
Oh, really?
Husband.
It was back in the 50s, was he?
That was 1987.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Harry. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
But he's got the spouty face, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he deserved it. He's very, very handsome. Sean Connery got it in 1989.
I get it. I get the Sean Connery thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Sean Connery.
But he was already pretty old, you know? I mean, in 89.
You know, that's the thing with you asshole men. You guys can look decrepit and still somewhat, for some reason, sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm cussing a lot. I'm sorry,
I guess,
guys.
That sucks, huh, for you?
Yeah. Well, it does suck. But it's like, men, you guys can look just so ancient, and there's just something so distinguished in your ancient and your ancientness.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, men have different sex appeal than women.
Oh, it's
do.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Like masculinity, kind of aging can fall into masculinity, whereas aging is not necessarily the same with women.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Anyway, okay. Continue.
In 1990, it was Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Okay, you'll take that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Now check this one. 1992, Nick Nolte.
Mm.
Now he looks like shit, but he did look pretty good in 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
Richard Gere, of course.
Come on, Richard Gere. He's still got it, too. Richard Gere still has it.
Yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was 1993.
Yeah.
When he was with Cindy Crawford. So that was
That's just obscene, the two of them together. That's just too much. Too much.
Now, of course, we can't ignore this one. 1995, Brad Pitt.
Of course.
And he still looks good, right?
Some people think he doesn't. I think he's a good-looking guy. I'm not a fan. He's always had kind of more of a baby face.
Right, right.
And I've never been attracted to like the soft-looking young buck kind of look. I don't like
that. I see. Okay.
You know, I like very, very masculine.
Right.
Features.
So like a Richard Gere would be more
much
attractive.
Much more.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Like Clive Owen, Viggo Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of guys.
I see.
Ryan Reynolds is a little bit babyish, but he's still got a real masculine. You know, stuff going on. He's very masculine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, in 1996, Denzel Washington won.
Yeah, he is sexy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's not the sexiest man alive. I don't know why they...
Well, you're not a woman, so...
Yeah, I guess not. And besides, they have to let black people have a little vote, too, right? The token black man, which is, you know, pathetic that they have to do it that way, but it does
happen.
Well,
that's kind of wrong to say, Sam, because he is...
Why?
Well, because I don't know if it's like a token black man. He is a sexy man.
Right, but I don't think he's the sexiest. But then again, I guess I don't.
But are any
most of them? Most of them are like generally known.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're celebrities, and then two, it's like it's sexy is like not it's kind of the whole thing, you know.
Right,
it's like your career's hot, you know. You're a really good looking man, but are any of those guys the sexiest man? I mean, I think Denzel Washington's still sexy.
Yeah.
He's got really, really awesome eyes, and he's just kind of...
Yeah, you see, I just don't see it, but...
Well, he's got like a New York... He's kind of got like a New York vibe, mm-hmm. you know, when he talks and stuff. It's really kind of a turn-on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. 1997, George Clooney won the sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
And I can see that. I think he's very handsome. And he's got a manly voice, you know, and he's
he is.
You know?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford in 1998.
Got it. I understand that.
You understand that?
I do.
You can see
he's
that?
He's a little bit not there anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit not as much, but...
1999, yeah. Richard Gere again. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I get it.
And then 2000, Brad Pitt again. So they're starting to repeat themselves. In 2001, they had Pierce Brosnan. I guess that's when he was James Bond.
Yeah.
I can see that too. He's pretty handsome. But you know what I noticed in James Bond when he wasn't wearing a shirt? He didn't have a great body, you know. He seemed kind of skinny and stuff. You'd expect a little muscular, more muscular on a James Bond, you know.
Yeah.
So that kind of made me feel good that he's not perfect.
There you go.
2002, Ben Affleck. What do you think of that one? You like him?
No. Not sexy to me.
Okay.
He's okay.
Not sexy.
I mean, I don't know.
Here's
like...
one that, to me, I will never understand, but it seems like most women do understand. Johnny Depp.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sexy, yeah.
Every woman is crazy about this guy.
This man is like, he's in his own echelon. Just like,
really?
Yeah. He's just so creative and an amazing, amazing, amazing actor. And he's just, I don't even know where to start with him.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I guess I don't see it. Jude Law in 2004. I guess he's okay. Matthew McConaughey. 2005.
He's sexy. There's no way around it. You can make fun of him all day long, but he is sexy.
Yeah. In 2006, George Clooney again. Then we have 2007, we have Matt Damon. I don't see him as being sexy. I mean, he's a cool actor and stuff, and he seems nice, but I don't know. 2008, it was Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he's,
you know him,
he's a beast.
Right?
He is really sexy.
Yeah, and then 2009, Johnny Depp again.
Good.
So so that's the top 20, mm-hmm. according to People magazine.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not one to comment on it, but I do have an opinion. You know, I think some men are really handsome and stuff, but
Who is some a man that you think is really handsome?
Well, we already touched on that.
Not
I
on
think,
this.
I think George Clooney, I think. Okay. Richard Gere.
Yeah, they're classic.
Pierce Brosnan, you know. Yeah. I agree with those, you know.
Yeah.
Who else that was not on the list? I can't think of... Can't think of anyone, but there are a few. There are a few. But, yeah, it's hard. I mean, how do you rank something like this? You know, I mean, when you look at a list and something, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Do you think in People's Magazine the people vote for it, the readers, or is it the editorial staff decides?
I think it's probably a mixture of someone's publicity team. Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I know, for example, Maxim Hot 100 Women. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of no-name, like, upcoming
right.
models and things. They buy those slots, basically. Their publicist, like, pushes to get them in there. And then they sprinkled among really big people, you know? And so those type of things, it's like it's all a publicity move, you know? Mm. And but these are obviously well-known, obviously huge stars. So people know them already. But I think it's a combination of, you know, probably reader voting and the staff and then obviously publicity.
Yeah.
Publicity teams. But
they're not saying anything about it. I wonder,
yeah. They just want you to shut up and agree and buy their magazine.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. And they want to tell you what you should think about what sexy is. That's yeah. basically what they're saying.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So they're not really saying here. I mean, there's no article. There's just, yeah. You see here, someone else noticed it too. Look on the comments. And that's what I was trying to say. Like, get the hell out. This is too funny. Only one person of color? Really? You know, so that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Like
you know, it
just...
was like a token black man. You know, it's not like they really looked on, you know, and in everybody and tried to sort of...
You're saying it's not, like, there's not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but... yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And I agree. I think that's like, really, there's only one sexy black man out there.
Right, yeah.
And even in the media, there's only one black man that should make the list.
Yeah. Can you think of anyone else that could make the list?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Terrence Howard. I think he's really sexy. Mm. He's a very, very good actor. Mm. I know you're going to think this is weird, but I told you, you know, he did buy me a coffee, and I think he's magnetic. Is Forrest Whitaker. I think he's sexy. And it's not your typical sexy. I mean, he's you know, he's a man, but he's just, I think he's really, really sexy. You know, and there's tons of different,
okay.
you know.
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker would never make this list. But,
well, because he's not a sex symbol, but he's sexy. You know what I mean?
Really? Like, I don't see that. But maybe you saw it in person, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I thought about it on the – but I thought about it even watching, like, you know, Last King of Scotland. I thought about it when I've seen him in other films where he just has something very magnetic and very – like, in his eyes when he acts. Mm-hmm. There's something – he's just – yeah, he's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're talking about sex symbol versus sexy, I don't know, maybe there's something different there. But, you know, lots of great.
Yeah. So did you hear that Eva Longoria is getting divorced from her husband, Tony Parker?
She is?
Yeah, because she suspects he was having an affair with a teammate's wife.
That's some bullshit right there, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we don't know yet.
She said, apparently, well, we do know. She found hundreds of text messages, and he admitted to it, too. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
You know, hundreds of text messages to the NBA star's phone from the wife of one of his teammates. Wow. So she filed for divorce and irreconcilable differences, of course. That's what they all use. She's devastated. She wants us all to know that.
Oh, that
but
sucks.
She's strong. That's what her publicist says. So... yeah, you see, it's like it doesn't matter how beautiful your wife is, you know, men always have to look the other way. I'm not saying that they all cheat, but that's what happens, you know? I mean, it's like many men fuck up. They really fuck up big time. And, you know, I say masturbation is the best weapon against cheating, man. You want to cheat, go in the bathroom, you know? Rub one out, and you're good. You won't want to cheat anymore. Let me tell you. Well, that's my opinion. What can I tell you, you know? But that works for me. Anyway, it's not Friday yet. Today's Thursday.
Yeah, well, you know.
Thursday is still cool.
Thursday's a great day.
Yeah. And we're going to a CD launch party tonight.
Where is it?
It's at Vitello's.
Where's that?
And... Vitello's is where Robert Blake took his wife before he killed her. Did you know that?
I don't know who Robert Blake is.
You don't know? He used to be Beretta on TV. Well, that was before your time, in the 70s. Yeah. But it was like a whole big thing after OJ and shit, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That he was suspected, and but he was never jailed, man. He was vindicated.
So it's called Vitello's? Is that the Valley?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Studio City.
Okay. What time?
And it's pretty cool. I think you had to RSVP, but maybe you still can.
I'm on a show here. Hello, do you know who I am, Sam?
No, I don't.
My name is Kara Kimbrough.
Okay,
Kara,
but
K.
It's not my fucking CD launch. Okay?
Well, you are the big head cheese.
It has nothing to do with me, though.
It doesn't matter. He needs to be thankful you're even freaking coming. And you get to bring me. You're like, do you know who Kara is? Award-winning show on LA Talk Radio. Hello, we're coming to your city, which probably isn't maybe even good. We'll see.
Well, don't say that.
But it's a joke. Don't get pissed, people.
We had Jeff Phillips here on the show before, and I don't know. I don't remember if we played his music.
But, no, we didn't, because I don't remember the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably good though, right?
I hope so.
Jeff, we'd
love
you.
I heard a couple of his tracks from his first CD.
They're good.
Which was nice. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
I want to
so
go.
Hopefully this one will be cool.
Yeah. So Jeff Phillips, we love you. Don't read into what I just said.
Yeah,
I make jokes and sometimes people get pissed, so don't do that.
Okay, so congratulations on the CD launch. Kara, thank you so much.
I'll see you tonight.
Go get some rest.
Go RSVP for me.
Okay. And everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.